fasting can be healthy for a lot of people if they're healthy enough to fast, if that makes sense, right? Mm. But when you're in that really depleted state, the fasting can actually send your metabolism further from what you want it to be.
You're listening to the High Performance Health Podcast, helping you optimize your health, performance, and longevity. My name is Angela Foster, and I'm a former corporate lawyer and high performance health coach. Each week, I bring you cutting edge biohacks, inspiring insights, and high performance habits to unlock optimal health, performance, and longevity. So excited that you've chosen to join me today. Now let's dive in. Hi friends, I just got back from a lovely week in the sun, which was so needed, and I kind of pushed the envelope a little bit too far, I think, in the first quarter of this year, which is so easily done. Even with all the tracking and everything that I do, I think so many of us can get caught up in everything that's going on, especially when we are working in our careers with our families, and you know, we probably say a little bit more often we're saying yes to things than we should be. And I think that's probably what happened to me a little bit, because I came down with the flu and then ended up with a chest infection. And it was a reminder to me to put in more rest and recovery. And that's why in today's bite-sized episode, I'm sharing a clip from my interview with Dr. Isabella Vents, where we talk about adrenal function. We discuss things like fasting and why they can be amazing for you if you are already healthy. But if you have poor adrenal function, you want to focus on really building up your capacity first. And it's so important to build that capacity before you can build resiliency. And it's something that I do in my program with biosyncing. And we also touch on that and the results that I've seen in terms of heart rate variability and improvements in deep sleep as well. So enjoy this clip. And if you want to listen to the full episode, it is episode 243.
What are the things people need to think about if they want to fix their adrenal protocol? And I know you are their adrenal, sorry. I know you have the full protocol in the book.
Absolutely. So really thinking about why your body feels like it's under stress, right? And so the kind of key indicators are what's going to send those danger signals to our body. These are going to be things like sleep deprivation. So if you're not getting enough sleep, whether that's sleep apnea or you're just choosing not to get enough sleep or there's something that's disturbing you, if you could correct that, that would be super helpful for you. The other parts are going to be like psychological stress. So if you are pressured at work, if you have pressured deadlines, you're not taking that time to really enjoy life and do things that are pleasurable to you, then you're going to be kind of in that fight or flight state mode all the time. Then we think about history of traumas or things that have happened to you that maybe shift your perception of stress. So if you're somebody that's gone through a lot of trauma, your body might be stuck in that fight or flight mode unless you really address that traumatic experience with some deeper work. And then there's things like nutritional stressors. So blood sugar imbalances, nutrient deficiencies, skipping meals, not eating enough calories, as well as doing too much exercise. These things can be very, very stressful for the body because the body can kind of get this message that we're in a famine or we're in a war. You know, our cave woman genes would not like skip meals and would not be eating foods that are inflammatory to us, right? If we didn't have to. And so thinking about making sure that you send your body those safety signals that you are not in a war, that you're not in a famine, that you are not like in a life-threatening situation, this is a fabulous place to start. So making sure that you're nourishing yourself, you're eating for blood sugar balance. For most people, this means more protein and more fat. You're getting some micronutrients on board. So common things that get depleted when we're in a stress response, B vitamins, vitamin C, magnesium, electrolytes. These can be very much game-changing, as well as mitochondrial support like D-ribose and carnitine are some of the things that I'll recommend for people to really utilize to replenish ourselves, right? And then just, I think for me, the biggest thing is finding time to do pleasurable activities. For a lot of people, this looks like time in nature, making sure that you're doing something that you're doing just for the fun of it. There's this like hustle culture that talks about, okay, if you have a hobby, try to like make money off of it or try to make a business off of it. And I feel like that just means you're working around the clock, right? Mm-hmm. And if you could find the time for doing things that you enjoy, that can really quickly shift you into that thriving mode. It's just a lot of these strategies that I focus on. And the beauty of it is like most people enjoy these strategies. Mm-hmm. So I'm not asking you to like, you know, do things that you don't enjoy. Most of the things I focus on are just really pleasurable activities to adding them into your daily routine. And that can really shift your stress response in just a few weeks.
Yeah, amazing. And with the, you mentioned fasting there and things like that. I think we've kind of been conditioned over the last few years as women that we've got to be like doing these super kind of, high profile jobs and fasting for like 16 to 24 hours a day, or even like 3 day water only fast and exercising at 5 a.m. in the morning. And my own experience is this just is way too much for the adrenals and for your female sex hormones. Do you find that when you're helping someone rebalance their adrenal function, that actually avoiding longer fasts or fasting more than 12 hours is a good idea? I just wonder where you come out on that.
I think, you know, everybody has their unique body and everybody needs to do what makes them feel best. And I know fasting is super popular and helpful for a lot of people. My ladies that I work with that come to me because they're brain fog fatigued and overwhelmed and they have trouble waking up in the morning and they're just burned out. Fasting can actually make them feel worse. Extreme exercise, like everybody's like, go running, it'll make you feel better. But for them, actually that depletes their energy further. And so, in many cases, I might recommend that they eat every 2 to 3 hours throughout the day. And then I'll even say, if you're waking up in the middle of the night, put a banana next to your bedside and then make sure you have a snack, you know, before you eat to kind of get you back on that solid circadian rhythm. And, you know, fasting can be healthy for a lot of people if they're healthy enough to fast, if that makes sense, right? Mm. But when you're in that really depleted state, the fasting can actually send your metabolism further from what you want it to be. Like, and I go back to like the safety theory that women are so tuned into our environment. If you're in a like, it, you know, a lot of women are like, okay, I have this body that tells me that, you know, if I'm fasting and exercising a lot, my body picks up the message that we're in a famine and it's going to help me by slowing down my metabolism. Right. And a lot of women are like
opposite to what you want. Yeah.
And I know for certain things work, you know, you'll see like memes on social media where my husband did this and he lost, you know, 20 pounds and I did this and I gained his 20 pounds. And so we just have to be really mindful of our unique hormones, of our unique makeup and the current state that we're in. Right. If we're like super stressed, like fasting can be too big of a stressor, like cold plunges can be really, really fabulous. But if you're in an adrenal burnout, that can make you feel worse. So a lot of times I'll recommend things that like build you up, like nice, soothing hot baths and Epsom salts before you start doing some of these resilience building exercises. Like definitely resilience is a part of what I preach, but it is more of like the advanced thing. Like we have to kind of get to a point where stressors are not too much for us, because people with the adrenal dysfunction burnout, they don't mount a healthy like cortisol spike to even good stressors. They can just be super depleted where just everything is overwhelming to them. So maybe you do 3-4 weeks of the program, you might be able to introduce a lot of these things and only do them if they make you feel better.
Yeah, I love that. And you do them if they make you feel better. Last question, just because I think I see it on your hand. I think you're wearing an aura ring like me. Is that right? Do you look, when you're looking at adrenal profiling and helping someone, would you encourage them to look at HRV as a metric and try? And are these things that we're talking about, have you found that these actually start to move the needle? Because I know a lot of women that I see that are in my community, when they're working really hard, they get frustrated that their HRV is lower than they would like it to be. And I think many of these protocols you're sharing would be helpful to them. Have you seen improvements in things like HRV with that?
I see a lot of improvements in deep sleep. So
deep sleep, interesting.
Yeah. So deep restorative sleep and REM sleep are some of the improvements that we start seeing when the body gets into this state where we start healing in our sleep, where a lot of times people will start on refreshing sleep and they're stuck in that fight or flight mode. So they might have frequent night wakings. They may wake up at 3 a.m. They wake up unrefreshed, and their profiles for deep sleep and the REM sleep tend to be kind of low. And then once we get these adrenal things reestablished, their body actually heals more during sleep. So it's very impressive, because they start regenerating their brain and their body better when they can fully get into like a restful period. I would love to do a test on HRV. I have not done that. So I love like a lot of gadgets, and I have a ton of gadgets. At the same time, I know not everybody has access to these things. I think they should, but not everybody is in my ideal world, I would like test everybody for like the Dutch and the adrenal saliva test, and I would have them wear an Oura ring, and I would have them do CGMs and so on and so forth. And, you know, just do a whole comprehensive workup for them. But I know that's not accessible. So I haven't done a lot of research on that. I primarily focus on the symptoms. And then I've had a people report on their sleep parameters.
I hope today's episode inspired you on your journey to vibrant health and high performance. Make sure you check out the show notes for a summary of all the important links to everything we talked about. And if you enjoyed this episode, hit the follow button and share it with a friend on social media, or leave a review over on Apple Podcasts. Remember, achieving high performance health is about getting 1% better each day. So think about one thing you learned from today's episode and start implementing it today. Share with me what you've learned on social media over at Angela S. Foster. I love hearing from you and connecting with you. Have a beautiful day, and always remember, you are worthy of your dreams.